Oh, look at that. It's 6 o'clock. Guess we should probably do a show.
Yeah, okay.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Will Nault, Matt Rose along with you. It's a big show in the morning. Live from the Sportsnet 960 downtown studio. How the bleep are you, Matt?
I'm good, brother. No complaints. I had a pretty solid Monday. Had a nice big nap after the show. Felt refreshed. I went and got groceries.
Groceries.
Yeah, it was a nice little errand day and then played a little bit of slow pitch. No problem.
You win?
We did win. Scored a handful of runs in the top of the seventh and then big catch in the outfield to end the game. Big catches in our center fielder basically dive-bombed the knees of our right fielder as he was trying to make a grab. And
I thought maybe it was you
was
who
happy
the,
to catch
made
it.
The big catch.
No, I did have to make a couple grabs. And I've only played a couple of games this year. And I think yesterday, I probably had to make a play on 3 or 4 pop flies. And it was easily way more than I had to do in any of the previous games. And you just get a little worried. I didn't drop any of them, but a little nervous for sure. But we got it done, and that's all that's important.
Well, you don't want to get it off the dome, right?
Oh, that would be the worst. Like, I don't want to, if I drop it, whatever, I can eat that. That's no problem. I have no ego whatsoever. But smashing my face, that's the part I would hate. The glasses, like, I got some nice prescription sunglasses. That would cost me a couple pretty pennies to get back. It's just, yeah, you don't want to get smoked in the chops by one of those softballs, especially when they get up there. They're coming down with a little bit of heat on them. I don't know about you. But
picking up speed when she's coming back down to earth.
No interest.
And I've seen people have missed
their
glove right off the forehead, and you have the laces engraved in your forehead.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Little nighty-night. No good.
Oh, you got a goose egg. Oh, and there's the laces. Looks like that softball's just inside your dome now.
Yeah. Good. They just lace that thing right on inside, hey? Just stitched her right in there.
Hope you're all right.
Yeah. So we got through it. How was your Monday?
It was good, man. I did nothing, really. I got some treatment down on my wrist.
Oh, you going through a little banged up?
I fell off my bike on Sunday, right?
So, you were mentioning that.
Right over the handlebars.
Were you cooking at a pretty good speed?
Yeah. Then I saw a car last minute, so I had to slam on the brakes, and over she went.
So did you run into the vehicle and flip?
No, the vehicle stopped and was like, are you all right, dude?
Hard brake and ass over tea kettle, hey?
Yeah, right over the handlebars.
And then landed on the wrist?
Yeah, like kind of a roll, wrist, elbow, shoulder.
Ow.
Yeah.
Ow.
Not too bad, though, in terms of scratches, but it's amazing when you get a little injury to the wrist, how much you're like, oh, we use our wrist a lot, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also, I think we're getting older, Will.
Yeah, it's true.
I started...
The guy who was giving me treatment was like, you know, when you get past 28, 29...
Yeah, right? I've heard this, too.
She's a little risky.
Last week, I went to see my masseuse, and she's like, dude, your back is... This is a mess. Like, this is an absolute disaster.
Which is surprising, because Garrett, as we've talked about, Matt Rose.
He's an athlete.
He's cut like a Greek god, so it's unbelievable that he's got a sore back.
I it's probably from carrying around this boiler all the time, but that's irrelevant.
I thought you were going to say from carrying the show, and I was like, yeah, it's probably accurate, too.
Oh. I'd say GVP probably does most of the heavy lifting back there.
I don't know. You guys are getting like 100 no's, and I text 2 people yesterday. Yep, sure. Yep, sure. Yeah, boom, yeah. Boom.
I'm down bad right now. I think I'm at like 15 in
a row.
You
guys need to work it out. By the way.
Bit of a slump.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's been a rough go. But, hey, I'm batting 2 for 2. So
yeah. Will's clutch. Called people from the East Coast.
Text you guys yesterday. I'm like, so we got one guest, hey? One.
Tried hard. Hey, where were you during the day we were trying to book them?
I was getting treatment on my wrist. I'm sitting there getting treatment. My phone's going nuts. Come out. It's like 20 messages from you guys, and it's nothing good.
And it amounted to zero.
We've got zeros here, guys.
Crickets, yeah. It was good.
So I went home, had a nap, woke up. I'm like, oh, we still have one guest, hey?
Guess I'll book the show.
Guess I'll just make sure that we have 2 guests. It's fine, though.
Hey, listen, back to we got guests booked up for the rest of the week, though, right? We got someone else on Wednesday already.
Well, here's the danger, though, right? You start booking guests 48 hours apart.
Yeah, a little sketchy. Oh, we'll have to confirm today.
Yeah, it's a little sketchy. A little sketchy.
You got to make sure you touch base.
But back to your story about your back.
Yeah.
Carrying your boiler.
Yeah, I went to see my masseuse, and she's like, you're basically like brittle. Like, you don't stretch enough.
Oof.
You're getting old.
Yeah, you should probably mix in a stretch or two.
So you really got to start to stretch it out more often. Apparently, my hip flexors are bad because I sit too much. So I got to start doing more segments
just
where I stand.
Yeah, just do the show standing up, man.
Which I don't hate. I got to find a way to.
We got to get you. What do they call those? The
one
standing
of those
desks,
lifting
yeah,
desks.
Yeah, we got to get you one of those.
So
suckers.
You can get a because this desk is low. This is what
very
two
low.
And a half feet off the ground. Probably more than that.
It's probably like three
feet.
Three and a half, maybe.
For short lads is what this is. Short men.
Yeah, but then you could be like Logan and sit on the ground, essentially. I'm like, how do you do that, dude?
Your
knees
does.
Are like at your chin, bro.
Doing a little squat.
Yeah, what are you doing? But anyways, if you do the show standing up, I don't think anyone's going to be mad. It's probably good for your health.
Then I can do some stretches while we're doing. How's the view? You like this?
It's great, man. It's fantastic.
Well,
hope you get it figured out. I don't think he's got health issues like you and I. I think he's fine.
Yeah, well, he's 22. He's still out zipping it around.
Yeah, I'm feeling okay.
What, he went 10 days straight to the Cowboys tent? We can't do that anymore. No.
I went to Nashville North, I think, like four times. It's probably like three times too many.
It's four more than I went.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a shift.
Yeah. Well, GVP's putting his feet up today. He's got his buddy Alex there. So
yeah. New employee Alex, not an intern. New employee Alex.
One's an employee, one's an intern. Who's doing all the work? It's unbelievable.
Well, it's not us, so. What's up, Alex?
Oh, you know, no, not much. Early mornings, still getting used to them, but.
You're bouncing all over the clock over there, eh?
It's a hard life to do the bouncing around like you're doing, man, trying to adjust.
You've been doing
all the time.
Some evenings, some afternoons, some mornings. You probably don't even have a set alarm here. What's going on?
Well, I kind of got a little weird on the sleep schedule there, but going to be a little more consistent on the mornings now, so hopefully I get it figured out.
Are you here the rest of the week?
Yeah.
There you go. Lock it in.
Well, at least a little bit of consistency. Never hurt anybody.
We got a little coffee. We got coffee runs coming up.
Are you guys coffee guys? I know Garrett's a big coffee guy.
I've been crushing like instant coffee the last couple weeks, geez. And it is terrible.
GVP, what are you doing?
What are
man?
You doing?
Well, like the coffee machine at my house is just the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. Like,
get off your wallet and buy one on the way in.
It's so bad, this coffee machine at my house. Like, you try and brew it up, it says everything's good, and then it starts to brew, and it's like, oh, you need to clean it. Well, it's like, I don't need to clean it. I already cleaned it like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And then it brews the coffee, and it's like ice cold.
Gross.
So like, this sucks. So I'll just
that
use
sounds
this.
Like that,
why don't you just drink the coffee here?
Sounds like that coffee machine needs to get tossed in the rubbish.
Yeah, give it the old heave-ho.
I agree.
See you later. Get rid of that.
It's terrible.
So coffee's here, not bad, dude. You can just have it here instead of instant coffee. Eesh. What's that? Just you throw a little bit of powder in the bottom of your cup and some
powder,
hot
water. Out the door. Yep.
It's
disgusting, dude.
That
and
is
you drive
a flag.
Here, and you have like you could probably go and get a toonie and go to McDonald's or Tim Hortons.
Yeah,
to get
like
a coffee.
I might have a fiver in my wallet. You want coffee tomorrow? My goodness,
it'd be all right.
Yikes.
6:09 on your Tuesday morning. It's always fun when you bring up a certain subject. Kind of like last week, we talked about, I asked you if you've ever been knocked out.
Oh, yeah. No, I hadn't.
And we had like 35 texts come in.
Everyone
instantly.
Loves to share the stories.
And then
the
next hour or so, we just had consistently people texting in. It was like 35 every hour. And it was brand new stories. People getting knocked out. How they got knocked out. Well, we mentioned in the first 5 minutes of this show that you know, got to be cautious on your pop flies. You don't want to get hit in the face.
Break a nose, break some glasses, lose a chiclet, get a big old silly mark on your face. A
couple of texts, 960-960, took a pop fly to the jaw in October. Broke it.
Ooh.
Two plates, eight screws, 40 stitches.
Oh!
Sounds
40
to me,
stitches?
That sounds to me like a bit of a...
what, are you playing with a boulder? My goodness.
A straw diet there for a while.
Oh.
That's brutal.
Oh, my. 40 stitches and two plates.
Eight screws is no joke either.
Brother.
Like that's not broken jaw. That's shattered.
Yeah. What, do you take the ball or the bat? My goodness.
It's almost been a year. I hope your jaw is doing much better.
Yeah, I hope
now.
You've been able to move on to solid foods.
Had a guy miss the ball with his glove, hit his other hand, hit the middle finger, and boom.
Oh.
Bone out of the finger.
Oh.
Just gross. Hit it perfectly.
Yeah. Right in the sweet spot. Ow.
Got hit inside the lip. They peel your cheek back to do the surgery.
Oh.
I hope you're not having your breakfast, but yeah, there's a couple of, again, baseballs could do damage,
dude,
man.
This slow pitch sport is dangerous.
That's why you're protecting your face, dude.
I want to start wearing like a full cage.
Now when I've seen people miss pop flies and they hit them in the face and you just see the stitches indented in their forehead, it's not as bad as some of these injuries that are coming in, 960-960.
No.
It always happens, hey? You open one can of worms and...
Yeah.
Now you got a bunch of people texting in with some gruesome, gruesome baseball injuries.
I love when we all get up and measure our injury stories. Who got banged up the worst?
I'm sure there'll be some more coming in at 960-960. Let's go down right now. The Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. What a treat to open the show today. Usually
Hooray.
Joins us later on in the program on Tuesdays, but he's a busy guy. So we got to, happy to accommodate. And joining us right now is the one, the only, Life Insider at Danferk. AV, what's going on?
I'm doing great, Will, Matty. I appreciate you guys accommodating. My dear friend Robert Flores, 11 years at ESPN. He is the mainstay in MLB Central on morning show. He's down for the count. Shocking. Roflo is like our Cal Ripken. He never gets ill, and he's out right now. So Virk getting the call up today. With me, the great Mark DeRosa, former Blue Jay, Lauren Shahadi, unbelievable. Showtime about 45 minutes from now. So we had to come out a little early with you guys, but I'm happy to be on as always.
I love it. We were talking, Mr. Rose, he plays slow pitch on Monday nights, and he almost got a pop fly in the face yesterday. So we're talking gruesome baseball injuries. Not maybe the best subject to start your morning, but do you have any gruesome baseball stories that you've witnessed or that you've been a part of? Because as we know, I mean, that ball can pick up some speed and get you pretty good.
No, there's no question about it that things can get a little bit dicey. What I always find is that things can be most precarious when you think it's most casual, meaning the score softball games can always be a little bit intense. You know what I mean? McCall's digging in there, and people are trying to strike out Cicero, and me and Cavi are going head-to-head. Like you think it's just a fun game, but that's where the egos and the competition gets involved. Although it's interesting, I think McAuliffe is what I once said to me, because you can tell a lot about a person how they act in those situations. And I said, meaning? He goes, it's supposed to be just for fun. So the guy who's taking it way too seriously is kind of reflective of his personality. So I always found it funny to think, yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I just think people are all competitive naturally in that environment. But when it should be casual, meaning we're just hanging out playing softball, someone blows a hammy because they're trying to bust it down the line. Somebody, tears an ACL running for a ball. Like, dude, it's just score softball. It shouldn't be this intense. And so much so, I learned my lesson. I never had a gruesome injury. Never saw one either. But just that level of intensity, I said, this is bad for business. So I never played in the ESPN softball league. But the guys that did it, it was amazing. The stories they'd come in and talk about, it was like, I see that in a platoon. You know, one is Willem Dafoe, one is Tom Berenger. They're all fighting and going to war. It was insane. The stories. The best was, and I always cheered for it because I love the researchers because they're so smart. And as I saw, they're the offensive line for me. They're the ones who make me look smart.
For sure.
They protect me. Their team name was called Research and Destroy, which was hysterical. And when they won the title that year, they ended up having, like, stats and, like, graphics built for their team. So it'd be like, highest on base percentage post 1920. And then have Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, and then John Fisher, who was like the cleanup hitter of the team. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It was so good.
Do you find that media members are usually run a little hotter or a little cooler at a lot of these events? Because I find they run pretty hot.
Yeah, again, it depends on the crew. I just went, Matty, to the Baseball Hall of Fame a few weeks ago, my dear friend Tim Kirchner got inducted in the Hall of Fame, and I mentioned John Fisher specifically because Fish was the guy riding with me who was the cleanup hitter on that Research and Destroy team. And Tim used to always laugh at the fact they would send out those stats as part of the daily notes for ESPN. But specifically to media games, I did an essay on Tim, and just, you know, how much he's beloved by everybody. And John Heyman, who's one of our MLB Network insiders, immediately texted me because, you know what is most amazing about Tim Kirchner is what a good basketball player he is. I said, yeah. They used to have media games like pick up basketball, and Kirchner would school these guys. He's 5'4 and a half, but his handle is unreal. He never misses a free throw. He's a great shooter. So much so that when I met A.J. Preller, the Padres president and general manager, early June, we just started talking, mutual admiration, and he was like, I said something about how Tim Kirchner says you're a relentless worker. You're up all day. He goes, oh, yeah. I heard that guy's an unbelievable basketball player. So these media games are supposed to be, again, just pick up and casual, but some guys dial it up, and Tim Kirchner is one guy that could dial it up.
Are you competitive by nature, Virk, whether that's board games or softball?
I am. I try not to be, Will. It's so antithetical to what you think is my personality, which is fun-loving and easygoing. But something happens, man. I get in the game, and I get a little more competitive than I like. And I've gotten better, I think, with age. You know, now I realize you lose, who cares? It's not like I'm throwing over the Monopoly board. But, yeah, I don't like to lose, generally speaking. And if I screw up, I get mad at myself. So I remember making a couple of errors and score softball. Like, it angered me for the rest of the day, if not the week. I mean, I was so mad at myself. I think that just happens. When you have a lot of pride in yourself, you get mad. But, like, no, if I'm playing with the kids, a board game or, you know, card game is something I lose, that's not a big deal anymore. It used to bother me more. What always affects me is how much the other person treats it. So, of course, it's my kid. I'm so happy that they beat me. But if it's like my sister-in-law, she's taunting me, then I'm seeing red. So it's all about the amount of trash talk that I'm feeling.
Yeah, then she gets the board game in the face, and you're like, oh, well, sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'll carry that grudge the rest of the weekend. Like, okay. Yeah.
I remember what you did on Friday night during Monopoly. You better watch your back. It's fine. Let's dig in here, Virk, a little bit. And I have to ask you, I mean, obviously we focus in on the Blue Jays, but kind of perfect timing. First of all, bizarre that we are in August and it's the second series of the year between the Blue Jays and the Orioles. Very odd scheduling, Kirk. They'll play each other 14 more times this season. And of course, Baltimore winning yesterday in the opener at Camden Yards. They're just one game back of the wild card, three games back of the Blue Jays. And, Virk, the Baltimore Orioles have won 22 of their past 30 games. They sold the deadline. What's happening with the Baltimore Orioles?
Yeah, it's an amazing story. I was on with Ruben Amaro Jr. yesterday, former Phillies executive, and Anthony Recker, former catcher for the Mets. We were both saying, you know, what this all boils down to, sometimes it's the guy behind the plate, and that would be specifically Adley Rutschman. He struggled his first 20 games, but after that, he has hit the ground running, and it's pretty rare when you see a rookie who all of a sudden has not only the talent, but the leadership to be the face of the franchise. It's happened a few other times that I can think of. Derek Jeter, 96 Yankees, Evan Longoria with the Rays, Buster Posey with the Giants, rookies that immediately make an impact. Julio Rodriguez of the Mariners already is their offensive face. And it's happening now with the Orioles and Adley Rutschman. And he's not only terrific offensively, and he's got power and speed and all the rest of it, but he's a really good catcher. And the real surprise is how good their bullpen has been. They've got a top three or four bullpen right now in all of Major League Baseball. And their starters are nothing to sneeze at, but their offense, because of guys like Rutschman and Ryan Mountcastle, who just tears up Blue Jays pitching. God, yesterday again, he goes deep. It was his first home run, I think, in over a month. But if you look at his numbers against the Jays since 2020, he's hitting like over 350, high slugging percentage, et cetera. Add in the fact that Cedric Mullins hasn't been as good this season, but Austin Hayes has chipped in. And they've just got a really solid collection of players. And the biggest shock is actually this. They traded away two mainstays at the trade deadline. Trey Mancini, in many ways, has been the face of that team. Overcame cancer, terrific player, all-star, et cetera, great dude. They traded him to Houston. And you go, all right, well, smart move by Mike Elias. I think we're not actually in the playoff hunt. We're rebuilding, and we're going to pounce in a couple of years. So let's not sell the farm right now just to make the wild card and lose in three games. I'm going to trade Mancini. He's a pending free agent. We're not going to re-sign him. I'll trade him. All right. And then Jorge Lopez, who is their all-star close. Guys, great. We'll trade him with the Twins for four prospects. Again, smart move, 4-for-1. We're not going to win this year, but we're going to win maybe in a couple of years. Let's go. And what happens? The team goes, no, fine. Wait, you just traded your closer. What are your top position players? We're good. We're going to keep on winning. We're going to beat the Blue Jays. We're giving them a wild card spot. Remarkable to me. When a team sells off, and they didn't sell the farm. They traded their two big assets, though, normally at that point you start to rebuild. Instead, Baltimore didn't get the memo. They're going to keep on winning, and it's an awesome story, man. Camden Yards is my favorite ballpark in all of baseball, with apologies to Fenway and Wrigley and Dodger Stadium, Yankees. I love Camden Yards. It's my favorite spot. I'm not crazy with the fences being pushed back there in left field, but apparently it's worked out for the team this year. 30th anniversary of Camden Yards opening, and right now there's something special in Baltimore. It's awesome.
And I mentioned that scheduling, Kirk. Like in typical years, the last half decade for the Blue Jays would be licking their chops with 14 games left against Baltimore. Not the case this year, and should make that what already is a very entertaining wild card race that much more interesting.
100%, because when you look at the wild card race overall, you know, right now I feel really good about the Blue Jays and the Mariners. And after that, that last spot, it's a toss-up. Like, I think it's the Rays, and they've had a lot of injuries, and they'll get healthy eventually. Lau's back now. Wander Franco's going to come back at some point in time. Andy Margot will come back at some point in time. That's going to help that team overall. But overall, you know, they're still – the Orioles are in the mix. And maybe the Red Sox can make a push. Like, I doubt it. Maybe one of those teams from the Central, the Guardians and the White Sox, if they don't win the division, the Twins win the division – they're still in that wild card mix. So it feels like it's four teams vying for one spot. I would pencil in Jays and Mariners. I actually feel pretty confident about both those teams making the playoffs. But that's four teams. It's two of the Central who don't win the division. So two of Twins, White Sox, Guardians, and that's Rays and Orioles. And one of those four will make the playoffs.
Got to ask you just mentioned the Twins quickly. What did you make of the Rocco Baldelli freakout and kind of that plate interference situation with the Blue Jays on Sunday?
Love Baldelli. Great guy. Met him a few years ago at the Baseball Writers Association of America Awards. He won Manager of the Year. My friend Scott Rogowski, who I used to do a show with called Change Up, I don't know how he's befriended Rocco with their buddies. So I met Rocco. I mentioned he's a huge Fish fan, which I'm not talking about the food, but P-H-I-S-H, the band. Which I've always said about Fish fans, like I don't know any of their music until Rogowski turned me on to Chalk Dust Torture, which is a great song. But I said, I don't know either, but I know these people, they're like Pearl Jam fans. And one of my best friends is a huge Pearl Jam guy, as am I. And he was like, you know, they're like a cult. They follow their band everywhere. So Rocco Baldelli and Fish is something I will never get out of my mind. And now I will never get out of my mind that rant he had. That was amazing. Rocco's not the type of guy to get fired up like that. For him to say, that's an embarrassment, that's one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life, I totally get it. And again, I was with Anthony Recker yesterday, former catcher, parts of seven seasons. This guy caught Jacob DeGrom with the Mets. He's a catcher. And he said that rule is atrocious. I don't know one person in baseball likes that rule. Like, there's not one person. The fact that, you know, Buster Posey got blown up, that was back in May of 2011. That rule was then implemented, you know, 2014, to protect the catchers. And I'm all for protecting players, but everyone goes, it's just a ridiculous rule. Like, as a baseball, where are you supposed to go? You're supposed to basically slide around the catcher and do that backslide where you kind of tap the plate. That's just not natural for all players. You just want to have a path and a lane to go. But at the same time, for the catcher, where is he supposed to be? Like, specifically, Gary Sanchez, is he right where he's supposed to be? The only thought is he's supposed to be a little bit in front of the plate to give the runner that lane, but then you'd have to jump up and catch the ball. It's an unnatural spot. Why should he be at a deficit? So it's really a dumb rule, I think, in my opinion, and I totally understand Rocco's frustration, and I worked at Bill Ripken Sunday. He did the same thing. Everyone I've talked to has said Rocco's right. That was just a bad call.
He is Adnan Virk, our guest every Tuesday on Big Show in the Morning, Sportsnet 960.
So last night, the Yankees, they get off the schneid with a win against the Mariners, as we kind of just talked about, but five straight losses for the Yankees prior to that. Do you think there's anything in there that other teams can look at, maybe ahead of the playoffs, and say there's something we can maybe try and expose there, or that just kind of natural discourse for a 162-game season?
I think it's the latter, Matty. I do think that teams are going to have ups and downs. They got off to a better start than people would have realized, and now they kind of slowed down a little bit. Nice win against the Mariners, but Benintendi's been a real disappointment so far. It's only been 10 games. He's hit like 160 as a Yankee. Aaron Hicks, I believe, had a 2-for-3 game Sunday prior to that. Hit an 0-for-29 skid. Like, their outfield position, they're getting nothing aside from Aaron Judge, especially with Giancarlo Stanton out right now. So their outfielders have to be better. They got to get Stanton back. I got Rizzo back. Rizzo's missed four games with a back injury. His 33rd birthday yesterday. Happy birthday also, of course, my man Roger Federer turning 41. But I think that it's kind of exposed some concerns. One is the lack of outfield production. The other fact is Matt Carpenter and or Josh Donaldson hitting cleanup. Neither of those guys – Carpenter's had a great season. although he just suffered that fractured foot yesterday, so I don't know how long he's going to be out. Mm-hmm. But he's been a great story. But no one's expecting either of those guys to carry the offense. That shows you how dependent they are on Judge, who goes deep yesterday. You know, he's now got 44 home runs. He's on pace for over 60 and breaking Maris's record. He's incredible. And yes, Donaldson had a 4-for-5 game yesterday, but none of those guys should be cleanup hitters. Mm-hmm. Add to that, I'm still scratching my head over the Jordan Montgomery trade. I know he's not a star. At best, he's a 3-starter. At worst, he's a 5. But that guy's durable. He goes out there and pitches. And so does Gerrit Cole. After that, though, Severino got hurt. He's unavailable till sometime in September. Nestor Cortes has been awesome. He's about to pitch the most innings he's ever pitched in a season. So innings limit, all right. Jameson Taillon twice as a Tommy John surgery. And he's got an ERA of over 5 of his last 8 starts after an ERA 2.7 his first 13 starts. So the trade Montgomery, one of those starting pieces for Harrison Bader, who is, let's face it, a defensive replacement. Like maybe next year he can be a good center fielder for it, but I don't even know when he's coming back. Bader's probably back sometime in September. And for this year, he's probably more like a defensive replacement. I think he's okay. I think he was good as a St. Louis Cardinal. I don't know how much more he's given you than what he's given you. So it's a combination of factors. Not enough outfield production. I don't understand the Montgomery trade. And most concerning is their closer, Clay Holmes, who was lights out in the first half of the year and now has been terrible the last week and a half. They've got to get a role of this Chapman right because he can't be a guy for them. He's got to be the guy. He's going to be important for them with Clay Holmes. Maybe he's a setup guy. Maybe he's the closer again. Because they lost Chad Green. They lost Michael King. They got Efros from the Cubs. They're going to hope Zach Britton comes back. There's concerns right now for Aaron Boone's team.
And just switching over to the National League, the Padres obviously with the big addition at the trade deadline, but they've lost 5 straight after last night's action. Just a thought on what we're seeing in San Diego.
Well, what's happened is that, you know, it takes a little time to acclimate to the process. And more than anything, honestly, Maddie, they just finished really good pitching. I mean, Tyler Anderson was great for the Dodgers. I watched him on Sunday, and last night, Alex Wood was executing all of his pitches for the Giants, and he just kept those guys off balance. Like, San Diego is the team I'm pulling for in the National League. I love those guys, particularly Fernando Tatis. And Nando right now is doing his rehab stint. They're saying they're going to do, like, 10 rehab games. That seems like a lot to me, but then I was like, you know, that actually makes sense. He hasn't played all year. Like, okay, it's one thing to swing a bat in a cage. It's one thing to be taking grounders as he's been doing for a couple of months. But they want to give him time to ramp up, which I think is smart. Originally, I thought it would be 3 or 4 rehab games. He'd be up this Saturday. Now I'm hearing Tatis will be with the team next Saturday. So another week and a half of playing in the minor leagues, and then he'd come up and hit the ground running. And I do think he is such a special player. He is one of the top 5 position players in all of baseball. When he comes back, hitting is contagious, and he will affect that team. They're too good to keep slumping like this, but there's no doubt over the last 5 games, it's their offense has really been miserable. So they've got to get everybody going in the right direction. And the main thing is, like I said, trying to face some teams that aren't dealing like they were. Snell was great yesterday, but Wood was a little bit better. But, you know, Soto and Bell, Machado, those guys are too good. How about Machado's quote the other day? When they asked about the Dodgers and being concerned, he said, no, this is why, because I'm Manny freaking Machado. Although, as A.J. Cassavell, the writer, said, he didn't use the word freaking. So they're definitely not lacking for confidence right now in that San Diego clubhouse.
He used the bleeping word, which is great for him.
Yeah, GVP, we're going to need to find that drop.
Yeah, we'll be good. We'll be good.
I'm on it. I'll find them.
What was I going to say? Oh, wrapping up some loose ends here, Virk. Did you have a piece of cake for Roger yesterday?
I did not. I was at work yesterday, but I was, of course, he was first and foremost in my mind. I gave him a shout out yesterday all week tonight, which was came out of nowhere. I'm like, oh, happy birthday, Anthony Anderson. By the way, Roger Federer, greatest of all time. I love him. They're like, well, where are we going with this? So I think the guys were worried I was just having a little tennis conversation, but no cake yesterday. Trying to keep it healthy. What did I have? I had a salad, had some steak. It was good. But we're trying to get the grill working a little bit more here. And I find that, you know, there's only a month left here in the summer, and I was looking at the season so far, and I go, all right, what is summer? Baseball, barbecue, the beach. Been to the beach at least a handful of times. Jersey Shore twice. We're good there. 2 Yankee games. We're good on baseball. Got to get some more barbecue going. So I had a barbecue back on July 4th. A little barbecue on the weekend. Hot dogs, burgers. I'm great with that. Of course, those are the easiest. Chicken, fail, boys. I'm going to be honest with you. I was eating the chicken that I barbecued yesterday. Like, I did not cook this nearly enough. Like, it was, you look at the outside, you always looks a little black. We're going to go inside, not nearly good enough. I was very disappointed. Poor Vark's my Vark.
Got to get the, Virk on the, and as we found out earlier this summer, by the way, respect for you not dropping cookout. You dropped barbecue, which is A+ for that. Second of all,
A+.
As we found out that you know, kind of prove to your wife that you are a man of the grill. And we got to get you going now on some steaks and maybe some beef ribs. Mix those in, Bert.
100%, because that really is the key. Somebody said to me, listen, hot dogs and burgers can't go wrong. It's as easy as it gets. But you got to go steak, and you're right, the beef ribs, get those going a little bit.
Delicious.
That really starts to show you whether or not you can barbecue. Because my cousin said to me, he goes, listen, the steak, well, what happened when our mom used to make the steak? I go, it was too much. He's like, exactly. Well done. They cooked the crap out of it. You got to know how to make a steak medium or medium well on the grill. You can do that. That proves that you're a man of the grill.
Where are you on grilled veggies?
I don't do it, but I need to eat more veggies. I was trying to tell myself that I'm going to start buying V8. And I talked to a friend of mine. He goes, first of all, I didn't realize you were 65 years old. But secondly, there's a lot of sodium in there. But I said, I'll get that sodium out. He goes, I'm telling you, because look at the can. You will get your, whatever, 3 servings of vegetables, but there's a lot of sodium in there. He goes, the way to go is just to actually eat vegetables rather than get a juicer or go V8. So I remember Van Pelt told me years ago, grilled asparagus is the way to go. If you grill some asparagus, that goes down smooth.
With the steak, that's the play for sure. One of the things we like to do is we take like potatoes and peppers and onions and just wrap them in tinfoil, a little butter in there.
Oh, it's the best.
Right on the grill. Yeah. See you later.
The best.
No, you nailed it, Matty. It's the wrapping and the foil. That's the key. I remember someone told me that. I go, I don't know how to do that. I mean, I know it sounds easy, but I'm like, how do I know when it's done? It's wrapped in the foil. I can't tell.
Well, if you're having troubles with that, the other big thing too is the veggie trays, the metal trays.
Mm.
Put those right on the grill, then you can see everything, and you just kind of scoop it up.
Scoop them up.
Get a little teriyaki sauce on there, maybe.
If I can see it, then I can be it. I like that.
I like to make my own barbecue sauce too, because whenever you're going into the store, there's so many different options. You can make your own.
That's real. That's the next level, Burke. That's next level.
Yeah, that's next level. I mean, listen, Matty worked in the steakhouse, so he knows these things.
It's true.
He's unbeaten.
Yeah, easy there, Bert. We're rookies over here, Matt.
Sorry, guys.
Gotta give us some.
Forgot I got my PhD over here in grilling.
Yeah.
No,
don't know
that's
who you're
not
dealing
true.
With. Speaking of burgers, I did see, and it was on the Twitter machine last week. How was White Castle?
Horrific. Horrific. I don't understand how anybody. I don't know how anybody can eat that stuff. Now, in fairness, as my buddy Mike Rupp pointed out, former Stanley Cup champion with the New Jersey Devils, he goes, where'd you eat the White Castle? And there actually is a spot here in New Jersey on the way to work, but I actually ate it at the movie theater. And he goes, what?
Whoa.
He goes, that's like eating Taco Bell at a gas station. Like, you can't, that's not fair. which is a fair point, but I got to be honest with you, it was like dog food. Not that I've eaten dog food, but I'm like, this is just horrendous. I don't know how anyone eats this stuff. Now, it's the meat to bun ratio is incredibly off. The bun is like 5 times the burger, and the burger was like, it was just like soft. It didn't taste like meat.
It's like,
what are we eating here? So it was terrible. And but I did promise Ruffer, like, okay, fair enough. I didn't actually eat it at a White Castle. So the next time we're working together on NHL Tonight, I promised him I will pick up some White Castle for us both. He loves it. He goes, listen, and he says it brings back memories from playing hockey in Ohio. He said my grandfather would eat like 6 sliders. My dad would have like 10. And they're like, you want anything? I'm like, okay, I'll have a couple of that. So, sometimes I get it. It's nostalgia. But listen, I mean, back home, I'll take a Harvey's burger over White Castle any day of the week. And here in America, I'll take Shake Shack. I think Shake Shack is outstanding. Unbeatable. White Castle, thumbs down. The reason I did it, by the way, Cal Penn coming up on Cinephile. I'm interviewing him this Friday. Of course, Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. Will was the first one to tweet back the joke. Well done. So that's why. So I'm going to interview Cal. I might as well eat a White Castle. It was terrible.
Those films, man.
It's so good. Guantanamo Bay is one of the best ones. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. And have you had White Castle?
I have not had White Castle.
Neither have I.
My only exposure looked like, is to the films.
Looked like 2 pieces of roast beef deli meat in that bun. Didn't even look like a burger.
Yeah, it was just... No, you're right. It didn't even look like a burger. And somebody, you guys know me, I'm a clean living kind of man, but they tell me you can only eat it when you're drunk or high. So it's okay, well, if that's the stipulation for it, I guess that's why it didn't go that well for me.
We may as well make it 3 weeks in a row. I know you've seen it now. How was Bullet Train?
Yeah, I love the fact you've been so obsessed with asking me about this, Will, but I did enjoy it. It's a fun summer action movie. And obviously, Brad Pitt, you'll enjoy. My wife is a huge Brad Pitt fan, as I said. She met him years ago, Toronto Film Festival. He was out signing autographs. She still has not washed her finger, or he touched her briefly. But he coasts on his usual effortless charm, you know, wisecracking, smart, tough guy. It's the director's David Leitch, who did Atomic Blonde. I don't know if you've seen that, but Charlize Theron. There's this great action sequence in the stairwell. So they got plenty of action in this one. Apparently the book is even crazier than the movie. Feels a lot like Tarantino, you know, wise guys, cracking jokes, super violent, non-linear storytelling. So I think if you're looking for a big, fun summer action movie, Bullet Train certainly will fill that void.
And I know Maddie went and saw Nope on Sunday.
Loved Daniel Kaluuya in it, and Kiki Palmer was really good as well. I thought the whole thing was fun, but I agree with you. It wasn't my favorite one of the three that we've seen from Mr. Peele there.
Yeah, I did really enjoy the third act, which is important in a film like that. You know, UFO superhero, you gotta bring the heat at the end, which Nope certainly did. But I'm with you. I thought it kind of took a while to get where it's going. Maybe there's some deeper themes that someone smarter than me could understand. But I was looking at my watch a little bit. I did love that scene with the chimp. God, I'd see a whole movie, Maddie, about that killer chimp. That was horrifying, that scene.
Yeah, that was an interesting little twist. That part was very Jordan Peele, where you're like, what is this random abstract tale we're going on that I want to know more about this? Like, forget the ranch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but there's this scene with a killer chimp. You'll not be able to get out of your head. But you're right, I did like Kiki Palmer a lot. I thought she was very sweet and good chemistry there with Daniel Kaluuya. I love that guy with the voice, too. The filmmaker, I don't know his name offhand. I've seen that guy. I think he's in Westworld. He's just got that voice. It's like just made for like voiceovers. A deep, gravelly voice. It's awesome.
The conspiracy filmmaker type. Very good.
Yes, conspiracy filming.
Before we let you go, Virk, I just was looking here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it appears that maybe we have had the biggest summer releases. Doesn't look like anything massive coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
No, that was the big thing movie people were saying, that like Bullet Train was like the last big, you know, summer movie coming out. So the next few weeks in August, you have to kind of find stuff on streaming and, you know, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera. But yeah, Bullet Train, the only big August release. So far, it's been, you know, Top Gun and Minions and, as usual, sequels, superheroes, and kids movies. That's the box office these days before we get the so-called Academy Award caliber movies in the fall.
Yeah, and I got something that's completely unrelated to anything relevant for movies, but James Bond, the new one, came out on the streaming services up here, so I've been kind of going through and watching the Daniel Craig set of films. Who is your favorite James Bond?
You know, Sean Connery is the OG as far as the James Bonds were concerned, but you've got to kind of go with your own era. So I think the first one I ever saw was The Living Daylights, which was with Timothy Dalton. And then Alfred Zimmerman told me he was like the worst Bond ever. And I'm like, oh, well, he's the first guy I ever saw. So Roger Moore apparently was suave. Connery was the first one. But I thought Daniel Craig was pretty good. And I thought the most recent James Bond, No Time to Die, particularly a very good ending. They always have great openings, all those James Bond movies. I thought he was pretty compelling. I know he's done now. So I thought maybe Idris Elba could be the next James Bond or some other options like that. So we'll see.
Yeah, I like the last one, too. It was quite good.
Virk, we've kept enough of your time, so it's certainly, as we like to say often, sometimes you do the show for just us, you know, very inside baseball at different times. So, Adnan, it's been a pleasure.
Been a real, real blast here, Will. Maddie, always love talking to both of you guys, and I hope we talk again soon. And like I said, it's always a pleasure for me. MLB Central, top of the hour, in for Roflo. Check it out.
Love it. See you, Virk.
Take care, boys. Thanks.
There he is, Adnan Virk, and we'll be in NHL Network joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline.
New episode of Cinephile just dropped. That's going to be my train trip out to McMahon today. No problem.
Train trip.
Yep. Better half has the vehicle today. She goes into work on Tuesdays.
Get off the Banff Trail and take a little walk.
Yeah. Maybe have a little bit of brunch here after the show, and then down to the...
What's on the brunch menu?
I don't know. Whatever's at the buffet at the next door place. But that'll just be today. Big practice, though. I'm sure you're going to touch on this in the morning report around the corner, but bad news from the Stamps yesterday. Evening hit from Dave Dickinson on 770, confirming that Trey Roberson has had knee surgery, done for the year.
Oh.
So a mix-up to the secondary continues for the Stampeders.
Yikes. Not good. Speaking of the morning report, that is around the corner as we continue. He's Matt. I'm Will. This is hour one of the big show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
And we're back. Big show in the morning. Hour one on your Tuesday. Matt Rose and Will Nault along with you. We got a GVP running the board in the other room. Garrett Van Der Ploeg.
Yes, sir.
We're a little late, so we'll get right to it. It's time for the morning report, and it's brought to you by Motorworks. Exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. And we say good morning to the man, the myth, the legend that is Will Nault.
My name is Will Nault. Massive piece.
I have a sweating problem.
I'm Will Nault.
Get your popcorn ready.
Staying in the NHL, we'll start here, I should say. The Boston Bruins signed veteran center Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci to one-year contracts on Monday. Bergeron returning for his 19th season. And the five-time Selke winner was asked if this is it.
Honestly, right now, I'm really happy to be back. You know, I'm concentrating on this year. I feel like my decision this summer was about this coming year. You know, I had a lot of things to think about, like I've told you and the rest of media in the past at the end of the year. Whatever the future holds, you'll know, I guess, and I'll address when the time is right. Right now, I feel like it's... You know, I got to concentrate on this year. I'm excited to be back and can't wait to get started and, you know, show up in training camp soon.
The non-answer answer from Patrice Bergeron on whether or not this is it. It does feel like an answer that potentially, yeah, while going year by year, playing 20 seasons might not be in the cards for Bergeron, but nonetheless, excited to see him back in the NHL next season. Krejci, meanwhile, is back. After a one-year absence, the 36-year-old had 20 goals and 46 points in 51 games in the Czech League last season. The Bruins also avoid arbitration with forward Pavel Zacha, signing into a one-year deal worth $3.5 million. He was traded to Boston earlier this offseason for Erik Haula. The 25-year-old Zacha had 15 goals and 36 points in 70 games with the Devils last season. He'll be a UFA at the end of this contract.
Look at the Boston Bruins going out and getting a whole bunch of business done. I love how they did this with their Twitter account. They had little gifts and emojis that they were putting out of the guys shortly before they were announcing these signings. I think we all knew these were going to come down, but was kind of strange with how long it took for these to also come down. Obviously, big signing bonus, performance bonus type of clauses in both these contracts for Bergeron and Krejci, so the cap hits stay low and they can take those penalties next year. I wonder what happens with the Bruins because they're a little bit over the cap now. They still have to make a move perhaps to get underneath it, but rolling it back for another season with this current group, I don't hate it. Although, like we talked about on Monday's show, that division, no cakewalk anymore.
Should also mention that both players, Krejci and Bergeron, entering next season on the verge of milestones. David Krejci, 38 games away from 1,000.
Right on. Get a silver stick.
Patrice Bergeron, 18 points away from 1,000 in his career.
Like, why did they make that the performance bonus? If you get to that, we'll give you the extra 2.5 schmil. 10 games? Come on down, lace them up 10 times, and we'll throw it your way? Come on. Give them a little bit of a challenge.
Should be fun to watch those two in action. And Krejci apparently just didn't like Bruce Cassidy. He's back in the NHL, though. Arizona Coyotes avoid arbitration with Lawson Crouse, signing him a 5-year long-term deal on Monday. The new contract will carry a $4.3 million AAV. The big man had his first 20-goal season in the NHL last year, recording 20 goals and 34 points in 65 games. While in Vegas, very similar situation for RFA Nicholas Waugh, signing him to a 5-year, $15 million extension. There's an AAV of $3 million. The 25-year-old Waugh had his best season in the NHL last year, 15 goals and 39 points in 78 games with the Golden Knights.
Yeah, and I like the Waugh signing, a guy who projects to kind of be your middle six, bottom six centerman. Either on your third or fourth line, a guy who can kind of kill some penalties, win some draws, and at $3 million, I don't hate that at all, especially for a guy who's only 25 years old, so you kind of lock him up until that 30-year-old season. Then with Lawson Crouse, you know, I was a little bit surprised by the term, but he goes out and he gets 20 goals last season. also in 60 games, not in a full season. So that's, you like to see that. Eventually, Arizona's going to need some guys to score goals, and I guess he kind of fits the bill for now.
A lot of Coyote fans on Twitter yesterday saying, make him captain, make him captain.
Oh, really?
So we'll
okay.
see if maybe that's the road. Of course, Jacob Chychrun, the guy that everyone's waiting for the Coyotes to trade, but yeah, I guess you could give it to Krause, sure.
Only one more arbitration case remains. Jake Walman in Detroit, and of course, Trenin actually went to arbitration. I think there's 23 cases, so once again, proves that nobody really actually wants to go in front of that arbitrator.
No, and the Zacha one, interesting too, going back to Boston, because that's arbitration with a brand new team that knows nothing about you. Yeah, you probably don't want that to...
Just highlights the Bruins running him over for
the last
3 seasons.
You don't want to be the first impression being in arbitration. Meanwhile, in New York, an announcement expected today from the New York Rangers.
Start spreading the news. Kevin.
I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York.
What's up, NHL fans? We see coming to you live here. Breaking news. I'm told the New York Rangers are going to appoint defenseman Jacob Trouba as their new captain within 24 hours.
Classic Kevin Weeks on the report.
It's such a classic video of Weeksy.
Just over his own Ranger jersey. He's like just panning it
to the track. And then it sounds like he literally like pulls the plug out of his stereo.
Yeah.
Like,
or hits pause or does whatever he does. Trouba's entering his fourth year, by the way. In Manhattan, the 28-year-old had 11 goals and 39 points in 81 games last season, also had 1 goal and 5 points in 20 playoff games. Jacob Trouba expected to be the next captain of the New York Rangers.
Right on. Big, mean dude. Sure, seems to fit the bill. You know, we knew that Panarin didn't want to do it. I probably was going to lean more towards like a Chris Kreider in a situation like this, but... Yeah, Jacob Trouba. I can't believe he's already been there for 4 seasons.
Well, it will be his 4th.
Will be his 4th? Okay.
Coming up. He's been there for 3 full years. This will be year number 4 in New York. And by the way, this will be the first captain for the Rangers since Ryan McDonagh, whose captaincy ended in 2018. So it's been a while for the Rangers to have a captain.
It's a young blue line, so it definitely makes sense that he would be the guy to pick of all of their defensemen. But like I said, I thought maybe Kreider would have been a guy. Goodrow, I think, is another one who's in that case. And perhaps Lafreniere is the guy of the future.
Trouba probably going to be there longer than Kreider, maybe. That would be why. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a very valid reason.
Let's shift gears and go to baseball. Blue Jays beginning a 3-game set in Baltimore on Monday. Despite being divisional rivals, just the second series of the year between these two. Yusei Kikuchi back on the mound for the visitors, and it wasn't great.
Up right in the stretch, peaks at first, kicks and comes home, and the pitch is drilled. Merrifield goes back in center, into the warning track, in front of the wall. He leaps, can't make the catch. It is gone.
A 3-run home run in the first inning, and things went from bad to worse in the bottom of the third.
Jays will overshift frequently against right-handed batters. And Santander gets a hold of this one. Deep left center field, and he hit it to the right side of the wall. Quite literally the right side. Another home run for Santander off of a left-handed pitcher. He has found the power stroke from the right-handed box, and he gives the Orioles a 4-1 lead on home run number 20. Mountcastle cracks one way back into left field. Back-to-back home runs for the O's. It's finally his day. Ryan's first long ball since July the 3rd. And he busts out against Kikuchi to make it 5-1.
Kikuchi going just 5 innings, gave up 6 hits, 5 runs, walked 3, and struck out 4. His new manager, John Schneider, though, doing a pretty nice job massaging things in the media.
We've liked the progress that he's made, and you know, you get to a certain point of the year, and you got to try to win every game. But right now, he's you know, he's definitely given us a chance. I think today was just a couple bad pitches and a couple bad hitters in a row. But right now, he's going to keep getting opportunities. You know, he got us into the sixth. You know, we were trying to get every out that we could out of him. And to his credit, he kind of got into a little bit of a rhythm and made some big pitches, double play and a couple key strikeouts. So, yeah, it was exactly kind of what we wanted with the exception of a few pitches.
Don't know if that's totally accurate, but hey, new manager sticking up for his guy. He doesn't want to bury him in the media. It's been a tough year for Kikuchi. But sorry, Schneids, that's not it. He still walked three. Gave up six hits, five runs in five innings.
And the pitch count was lower.
Not good.
Pulled after 67 pitches. Pardon me. No, the pitch count got up. I was looking at this in reverse. But 84 pitches thrown over five innings of work. Five earned runs against. The three home runs is the big one for me. Like, it's good when you're getting a couple of Ks here and there. But if you're...
And he also walked three. So we're talking about a situation where still control a bit of an issue. But nonetheless, the Blue Jays did make some, you know, make things interesting twice. Top of the eighth, had two men on, down 6-4, couldn't capitalize. Top of the ninth, had the tying run to the plate, grounded into a double play to end things, did Bo Bichette. 7-4 is the final. Baltimore now just three games back of Toronto in the American League East. One game back of the wild card, and they've been one of the best teams in baseball over the past month. Baltimore's won 22 of their last 30 games tonight. Toronto trying to bounce back. Alek Manoah on the mound. First pitch is 5:05. We've got this one for you, of course, here on Sportsnet 960. You can also watch it on Sportsnet West.
Yeah, looking forward to this one. Right back at it. Get Alek Manoah out there. If you look at the pitching matchup, it would heavily tilt in favor of the Blue Jays in this instance. And, yeah, you need to get back in the win column against these Orioles, who are red hot. It was funny. I was reading about that Mountcastle guy for the Orioles. I was like, man, I remember this guy because he torched the Blue Jays. Like, he must be having a great year. Nope, has been awful basically since the last time they played the Blue Jays, and now he's out here.
Ryan's first long ball since July the 3rd.
Yep, there it is. That, and what's the date? The 9th of August?
It's been a while.
And a guy who's supposed to be a power hitter, and then it's just the Jays again, and he's like, all right, yeah, I'm just going to launch this thing. See you later.
As Adnan told us in the last segment, Mountcastle hitting about 350 against the Blue Jays since 2020. So anytime Toronto comes up on the schedule, Ryan Mountcastle is a huge fan. Elsewhere, on a quiet Monday in the majors, Yankees beat the Mariners 9-4, while in the National League, Mets beat the Reds 5-1, and the Padres losing 1-0 to the Giants. Both New York teams, by the way,
yeah,
identical records.
Really?
71-39, second best in baseball behind the Dodgers at 75-33.
And you were telling me about the walk-up for Diaz that I was on Twitter. I found that yesterday. Oh, my God. Shivers.
Yeah, let's go to a Mets game.
Okay, sure.
Outstanding.
Yeah. I'm in.
A couple of other loose ends to wrap things up on the morning report today. We talked about it at length yesterday. The National Bank Open opening up in Toronto and Montreal. The ladies in Toronto, the men in Montreal. Canada's Leila Fernandez had quite the return to the court following a two-month layoff due to injury. The Laval, Quebec native defeating Australian Storm Sanders 6-4, 6-7. 6-3 in the opening round of the National Bank Open. The 13th-ranked Fernandez is going to be back in action on Wednesday. While in just her second tournament of the year, Serena Williams victorious on Monday in Toronto. She's been battling injuries, going to turn 41 next month. It's been a tough road, but Serena Williams obviously loves the game and maybe hinted at retirement post-match.
I love playing, though. It's like, it's amazing, but... You know, it's like, I can't do this forever. So it's just like, sometimes you just want to try your best to enjoy the moments and do the best that you can.
Also had her love for Toronto, saying it's one of her favorite stops on tour every single year, and she's happy to be back. She'll be back in action on Wednesday in the round of 32. While in men's action from Montreal, it was delayed on Monday due to weather. Dennis Shapovalov will continue his match later this morning. He lost his first set 7-5 and is currently in a second set tie break.
Yeah, with Venus, you know, now Serena. Being, pardon me, Serena now being a winner and a mother, you do wonder if it's kind of getting to that point in her career. You know, like you mentioned, it's her first win in quite some time as well.
Just her second tournament of the season, made her debut at Wimbledon last month. Mm-hmm. So it's not been easy the last couple of years with injuries. And of course, as you mentioned, with a pregnancy, having her first child, just at the point in her career, she's the greatest of all time on the women's side. So I don't think she's, you know, got nothing left to prove and just loves the game at this point.
I think the message would more or less be try and catch a match before you can't. If you're a fan.
If you're making a trip to Toronto over the next couple of days, go check out Serena Williams back in action Wednesday.
She's probably going to be on the tube.
Yeah.
She's a big enough get. You can probably see her on Sportsnet.
Hopefully she'll be at the U.S. Open as well.
Obviously, that'd be cool.
We'll wait and see on that. And you can't mention Shapovalov without playing this.
Men's singles action. Please welcome from Canada, Denis Shapovalov.
He'll continue his match, as I mentioned, today after his opening match was delayed Monday due to some bad weather in Montreal. Lastly, in football, HBO's Hard Knocks.
Dude, I'm so excited. Oh my God, I love Dan Campbell so much.
It's featuring the Detroit Lions in 2022. It begins tonight. Some teaser clips have come out on social media the last couple of days, including this one, a breakdown of the team huddle from Jamal Williams. Oh, yeah. This thing blew up on Monday. Here's the Lions running back just trying to pump up his teammates.
Jamal Williams, bring it up. I'm going to let y'all know, man, today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. Were you tired? Think of last year and think of that f***ing record. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that f***ing record. Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Do your best. Let's go. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3. Lions.
Whoa. I'd be upset if I was 3-13-1 last year, too.
Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all.
There's no turds here.
That's for sure.
Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. Were you tired? Think of last year and think of that f***ing record.
Yeah.
I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long.
Please do.
Just keep going after the ball, the football.
And yeah, it starts tonight. Obviously, a little bit harder.
Hybrid.
All right, easy. It's a little bit harder to get in Canada. I know that, but hopefully, if you are a subscriber to HBO and you know you find a way to get it, there's another streaming service you might be able to get.
Well, we're gonna kick you in the teeth.
How many wins will the Lions have this year?
Yeah, what's that division?
More than three.
I hope they have more than three. I legitimately don't. Bills? No, that's not their division.
The divisions, the Packers, the Vikings, and the Bears.
Are they going to be better than the Bears? I think that's a legitimate question.
I think they will be.
I think they will. The Bears are really bad. I don't think they're a playoff team.
Well,
but
last year wasn't them, man.
Last year wasn't it!
And I never count out this guy.
No, there's no way to sugarcoat
that. Okay, you love the Dan Campbell clips, eh?
I'm an asshole.
You love it. And just lastly, quickly, in the CFL, you mentioned it earlier in the program, yesterday on a hit with 770, Dave Dickinson telling Sports Talk that Trey Roberson, knee surgery, done for the year.
Done for the year. Bit surprising. You know, well, kind of. So we saw him walking around to practice last week. He was just in the kind of compression sleeve. So you figured that's kind of a good sign. But then also got placed on the sixth game and you went, ooh, that's not good, because if it's one of those ligaments, you can still kind of walk normal. Not good. We'll see what happens with the secondary.
That's your morning report.
That is your morning report, and it's brought to you by Motorworks. exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. Were you tired? Think of last year and think of that f***ing record. Last year wasn't it.
Wasn't it.
I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3. Lions.
I'm not going to lie. I thought that Lions chant was going to be a little bit more like emotional as well. And they all were kind of, it felt kind of awkward.
Lions on three. 1, 2, 3. Lions.
I don't know if they're going to be any good, but Hard Knocks should be fun. Should be. We'll go to break around the corner. Hour two of the big show. We got some NFL fantasy we're going to talk about coming up in the next hour and several other things to get to as well. That's next. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.